cue for being here. I'm just going to work out where I stand. I usually stand quite high up, so it feels odd down here. And thank you for all those words. I think it should kind of tie in quite well with what I'm talking about, which is always nice when God shows up and does other things before I start talking, as I'm kind of talking about living life in all its fullness. So, you know, going through the door, joining the party, eating at the banqueting table, being in the river. So hopefully, as I talk through, that will kind of come out as well. Yes, so I'm going to be talking about living life in all its fullness and the freedom that God has bought for us. And I just really want to start this evening by saying how amazing God is. If you don't know, since the end of September, I've been attending day school, part of Eastgate School of Spiritual Life, which is ESSL. I've really been loving it. So I go there every Thursday and Friday, except school holidays, and I have received and experienced so much from God there. Lots of the teaching has been about identity, who God says I am, my value, my glory. And we've had the chance to step out in faith from this place of knowing who we are in God, in both Gravesend, which is the local town, and on one equipping trip so far at the beginning of February, and I went to Southend. When it was first suggested that I might be speaking in an evening service, I thought, that's good. It's only a few weeks after my equipping trip weekend, I can talk on that and try and somehow link it to the Bible passages for the day. But when I looked at the lectionary readings, they are just amazing and really fit in with everything that I have been learning at ESSL. So I can easily talk about day school and the lectionary readings at the same time. So yeah, God is very amazing. We're going to have our first reading from Exodus 34, which Debbie has got. If you can come up, use the handheld mic. Nick, can you also swap across to the other PowerPoint, please?
Evening, everyone. This is taken. Right, this is taken from Exodus 34, verse 29 to 35. Sorry, can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
When Moses came down Mount Sinai carrying the two stone tablets inscribed with the terms of the covenant, he wasn't aware that his face had become radiant because he had spoken to the Lord. So when Aaron and the people of Israel saw the radiance of Moses' face, they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called out to them and asked Aaron and all the leaders of the community to come over, and he talked with them. Then all the people of Israel approached him, and Moses gave them all the instructions the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. When Moses finished speaking with them, he covered his face with a veil. But whenever he went into the tent of meeting to speak with the Lord, he would remove the veil until he came out again. Then he would give the people whatever instructions the Lord had given him, and the people of Israel would see the radiant glow of his face. So he would put the veil over his face until he returned to speak with the Lord.
Thank you. And we've got Matt is bringing the Luke 9 passage, which has our gospel reading for today.
Evening. So this is Luke 9, verse 28, verse 6. About 8 days later, Jesus took Peter, John and James up on a mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face was transformed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared and began talking with Jesus. They were glorious to see, and they were speaking about his exodus from this world, which was about to be fulfilled in Jerusalem. Peter and the others had fallen asleep when they woke up. They saw Jesus' glory and the two men standing with him. As Moses and Elijah were starting to leave, Peter, not even knowing what he was saying, burst out, "Master, it's wonderful for us to be here. Let's make the three shelters as memorials, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But even as he was saying this, a cloud overshadowed them, and terror gripped them as the cloud covered them. Their voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him." When the voice finished, Jesus was there alone. They didn't tell anyone at that time what they had seen.
Thank you. Sorry, I just wanted to get the clicker for the next bit. So we've got two very amazing readings there about the glory of God. So let's just take a moment just to reflect on those. Because in our gospel reading, we get a glimpse of Jesus' true glory. And then we see how God shares his glory with us. Moses spent time in God's presence and he was changed. His face shone with the presence and glory of God. So much so that it was too much for others to look at and he had to cover his face. Can you imagine if you were in Moses' place? Just shining with the presence and glory of the Lord, radiating him. And yet we can. Let's listen to what Paul has written in his letter to the church in Corinth, which is our epistle reading for today. So this is from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, starting at verse 12. Since this new way gives us such confidence, we can be very bold. We are not like Moses, who put a veil over his face so the people of Israel would not see the glory, even though it was destined to fade away. But the people's minds were hardened, and to this day, whenever the old covenant is being read, the same veil covers their minds so they cannot understand the truth. And this veil can be removed only by believing in Christ. Yes, even today, when they read Moses' writings, their hearts are covered with that veil, and they do not understand. But wherever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him, as we are changed into his glorious image. Therefore, since God in his mercy has given us this new way, we never give up. We reject all shameful deeds and underhand methods. We don't try to trick anyone or distort the word of God. We tell the truth before God, and all who are honest know this. And it's this epistle reading that I'm going to focus on tonight, and particularly verses 17 to 18, which I'm hoping... Yay. I've not used a clicker before, so I'm hoping I do it all the right way around. For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us have had that veil removed, can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. Now, I said it would be I'll be able to talk about ESSL easily, as school is about learning to live and walk in this freedom that Christ has won for us. There is now nothing that separates us from God. We've already had about the veil coming between people and God, but that has been removed. Through Jesus' death and resurrection, sin, guilt, and shame have been dealt with, and we become children of God, and we take on the family likeness. So some of the Message translation of verse 18 says this. And so we are transfigured, much like the Messiah, our lives gradually becoming brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become like him. And we've already seen that how Moses was transfigured, didn't he? That there's the similarities between that and the gospel reading. When he spent time in God's presence, he was changed. And this is not just inwardly, as the Moses that we see in this passage is a little different to the Moses who argued with God at the burning bush that he wasn't good enough. Moses' appearance also changed. People could tell he had been in God's presence. Why? Because his face shone with God's glory. People could recognize that he had been with God. And I believe that's what Keith spoke on this morning. I wasn't able to be there, but I think he was talking about that, about people recognising. Do people recognise that we have been with Jesus, that we have been with God? And yet, as we just read in this letter from Paul, that there is even more glory available to us now than to Moses. And if we go forward, backwards, a few verses earlier in the chapter, so 7 to 11, which is just before the verses that we've read, it says this: the old way with laws etched in stone led to death. Though it began with such glory that the people of Israel could not bear to look at Moses' face. For his face shone with the glory of God, even though the brightness was already fading away. Shouldn't we expect far greater glory under the new way, now that the Holy Spirit is giving life? If the old way, which brings condemnation, was glorious, how much more glorious is the new way which makes us right with God? In fact, that first glory was not glorious at all compared with the overwhelming glory of the new way. So if the old way, which has been replaced, was glorious, how much more glorious is the new, which remains forever? And then it continues with, since this new way gives us such confidence, we can be very bold. And then the rest of the passage. So I think it's really clear to see how these readings have been chosen together for the lectionary. And Paul is just saying that there is far greater glory with this new way, which is actually quite obvious when we think about it. We are completely free to be with God, as nothing separates us from him. And we are living in the resources of heaven. Now, I want you to imagine that this zero line is you at birth. And every time we do something wrong, if we sin, we are going down into the negative. I've got to remember how many clicks I need to do. We're going into the minus. Got one more, there you go. But Jesus has paid the price for all your sins, your debt, and it has been wiped clean. And when we become a Christian, I think it's quite easy for us to imagine being back on the zero line. There we go. So we know that. We know that the things that we've done wrong have been done. It's been paid with. We recognise what Jesus has done and the mercy that has been shown to us. Yet I think it can sometimes be harder to understand that actually we are not on the zero line, but we are now in the plus. We are living in the full resources of heaven. We have been given so much. We have been shown grace and have had so much that we don't deserve lavished on us. We become children of God. We can know him intimately. So there we go. Look, we're all the way up there. Shining bright star. And we can have God with us all the time, and not just with us, but in us. In Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 33 and 34, it talks about the new covenant, and it says this: "But this is a new covenant I will make with the people of Israel on that day, says the Lord. I will put my instructions deep within them, and I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. And they will not need to teach their relatives, saying, 'You should know the Lord.' For everyone from the least to the greatest will know me already, says the Lord. And I will forgive their wickedness, and I will never again remember their sins." And this is us. We are in the new covenant. God has made us glorious. Have I got a pointer on here? Yeah, okay, there we go. We are up here living in the resources of heaven. How freedom has been won for us. We have got life in its fullness. We just need to step over, go through the door, go into the river. And we need to learn how to live in this freedom and in the resources of heaven at our disposal. Now, Pete Carter is one of the directors at Eastgate, and he's got a book called Unwrapping Lazarus, which I think some people here may have read. And the title comes from the story in John 11, where a man named Lazarus, who is a friend of Jesus, dies. He's put in the tomb, but Jesus brings him back to life. Jesus calls Lazarus out and he walks out of the tomb. Don't worry, the stone has already been rolled away so he can come out. And he is living and alive. But he is still covered in the grave clothes. These need to be unwrapped and taken off so that Lazarus can actually live his new life. Before I applied for day school, a verse came to mind, which is John 10:10, where Jesus said, "I have come to give you life and life in all its fullness." And I am coming to know the truth of this verse more and more as I am becoming closer to God. But he has come to give us all life in all its fullness. And life in its fullness is a free life. Lazarus is not free and not fully living his new life until he has been unbound from his grave clothes. They restrict him and what he can do. And there are things that can restrict us in our new life in God too. Things such as worry, anxiety, thinking we're not good enough, hurts, pain and disappointment. And I'm sure you are able to think of other things in your life too. If we skip back to 2 Corinthians 3, Paul talks about that veil. And he says that same veil covers their mind so they cannot understand the truth. And what is the truth? That we are living here. We know our true identity in God. That we know who God says we are. That we are glorious. It is the Spirit who guides us into all truth, as it says in John 16, verse 13. And we regularly declare that at the end of most services here. Please join in with me if you know the words. The Spirit of truth lead us into all truth. Give us grace to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and strengthen us to proclaim the word and works of God. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us always. Amen. So we say every time that the Spirit of truth lead us into all truth. We need to know the truth. Oh, there we go. Because we don't just have freedom from things. Such as guilt, shame, fear, anxiety. We have got all of that, and that Jesus has won that for us, but he comes to give us freedom. Sorry, I'm skipping too far ahead. No, yeah, there we go. We also have freedom for things. So it's not just about getting rid of the things in the darkness, but coming and having things in the light. So we get freedom for peace. For joy, for love, for healing. These are the things that can transcend our circumstances as well. Paul is a great person to illustrate this. Even though he went through persecution, shipwrecks, was put in jail, he still knew the love and peace and joy of the Lord. And they are truths that we can all know. We should be living in the light, not in the darkness. We should be living in the fullness of our life, not having these other things holding on to us. A little further on in 2 Corinthians, if you skip forward to chapter 5, verse 17, Paul states, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here." So the old is gone. We are not the same person that we were before Jesus. We are a new creation. So we should not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, as Paul writes in Romans 12, verse 2. And 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of a love and of a sound mind. So this is what it's like to be a new creation. These are the things that God has given us. And it can take a while to renew our mind, and we can constantly ask Holy Spirit to help. But what we think about, what we focus on, obviously has an impact too. If we are always looking for things to go wrong, then that's what we all take note of, and it will seem that that's what always happens. We validate our own negative thoughts. Yet if we are constantly looking at God and what he can do, When we reflect that our identity comes from who we are, not what we do. We are human beings, it's who we are. That we are loved and made worthy, then this will change our focus and what we notice happens. We are made glorious. In verse 18 of the epistle reading, in the NRSV, it says we are being transformed from one degree of glory to another. So to move to a place of more glory or a greater degree of glory, it means that we already have glory. So you are glorious. And it does not honour Jesus or his sacrifice if we live at a lower level than he intended us to live. That's a quote from another Escape book by David Ritzer about our royal identity. So it does not honour Jesus or his sacrifice if we live at a lower level than he intended us to live. So if we skip back to here, actually, if we are just living on this line, we recognise that God has forgiven our sins and we stay down here and we don't actually move up here into the fullness of what God has given us, then it's not actually honouring him. It's not honouring the things that he's done, because he doesn't want us to stay in that place. He wants us to have a life in its fullness, to have a life in freedom, to know the goodness of God in every situation. And as we know, that comes from our minds being transformed. And our minds are constantly being transformed as well. And what we focus then on is really important. Now, when we had people hanging around and damaging things at church just before Christmas, it was a little bit unsettling. I was here a couple of times when they were here, and it was kind of a bit unsettling. But there's only one day when I started to actually feel fearful. And it was a Tuesday morning after there'd been some vandalism on the Monday evening in the car park. And I started to feel fearful and scared. Then I thought, this is my workplace. And first and foremost, this is a place of God. I shouldn't be feeling scared or unsettled here. And I don't want to. So I started to think about, what was I actually feeling fearful of? Because sometimes it can just be the unknown. But I started to think about, well, what actually is it there that is making me feel fearful? And I thought, well, they could damage my car. And then the consequence of that would be, it would be very frustrating. It would take time and energy to sort out. Have to get it to the garage, get it fixed. You've got to go through insurance, sort that out. Potentially, I might not have a car for a little while while it's being sorted. It could cost money to get sorted if the insurance wouldn't cover it. But then I reflected on God. He who created the entire heavens and earth. Do I think it'll be too much for him to give me a bit of money to fix a car or provide a new one? God is bigger than a broken car. Then I thought, okay, so, I believe that God could sort that out and it'll be okay. And then I thought, well, what actually if they could hurt me? But again, God is with me all the time. And whatever happens to me, ultimately, I will be okay because God is with me, or I will go and be with God. And thinking through practically what it was that I was scared about and how that fits with truths about God, it helped me to deal with those thoughts and stop fear from entering my mind. I also played lots of worship music while I was in the OXT. That helps to focus too. So it's just things like that. You can think, well, actually, what is it here that's making me worried and anxious? And what truths do I know about God? I've been really blessed by hearing so many different speakers at ESSL, either by DVD or in person. And back in January, we had Chris Valaton from Bethel come and speak. And he mentioned a thing about core values and higher values. So higher values are the different things that we believe about God. So things like he is a good father, he loves us, he is provider, he is healer, etc. And core values are the truths that we live by in our hearts. There may be lots of truths about God that we know and believe in our heads, but they may take time to affect our heart and affect our actions, behaviours, how we live. For instance, one thing that I'm growing in and is becoming more of a core value is that God is my provider. And if I look back through my past, I know that God has provided for me in lots of different ways, with jobs, especially coming here, with a house, etc. But I think sometimes I still try to rely on myself. I think if I do this, then I will have this. But these last 6 months, I've had to rely on God more as I stopped my nanny job, and I'm only working these 20 hours a week for church while I'm at school. I've had support from my family too, to make that possible. But ultimately, I need to trust God that I will have enough for all I need. And if we look back in the Bible, there are so many amazing stories of God's provision. I love the story in 1 Kings 17 of God providing for Elijah during the drought by sending ravens. Can you imagine birds bringing food for you to eat? It's just so amazing. But I need to live by the truth of this story that God provides and let it become a core value in my life, actions and heart. Sorry, can I have a drink? And this leads to freedom. Knowing truth about God deep in our hearts. Knowing that we are secure in who we are. That our worth comes from who God says we are and not what we do. That we are loved and surrounded and protected. That the Holy Spirit gives us fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And then when we're secure in these things, when we fix our focus on God and the truths about him, when we know them in our heart, then we find new freedom to step out in faith in whatever way that is, knowing that our loving Father is alongside us all the time. And actually, it's not such a big deal if we make mistakes or get things wrong. We can just try again. Like little children learning to walk, falling down is part of the process. But soon they get up and they'll be running again. When I was on the equipping trip in Southend, during one of the sessions, we had to imagine that heaven is like a storehouse and see what we saw there. Lots of people had different things, and I saw this. You get to see my lovely drawing. I saw lots of boxes, and one opened up, and the flaps lifted up. And inside was lots of brand new, perfect hearts. I thought that this was so that people would know how much that they are loved. But also for the healing of hearts, where hearts are broken and scarred, hurt and sad, people's hearts will be made new. Later on the same day, I had another picture. This time it was of a couple of people in a house, and the house was kind of quite dark. I got the sense that they'd kind of been arguing and that they weren't really getting on, and there was a sadness and a pain there. And inside each person was their heart, which was hurting and damaged. There were marks on it as well. Yet on the side, on the side of the house, there was this box with a brand new heart in just waiting for them. And I got the sense that this just wasn't people who don't know God yet. That this is true for Christians as well. That we come to know God and recognise that we're not worthy, we don't deserve what Jesus did for us, and we receive forgiveness, but we make it only as far as that zero line. That we still kind of go round with all the pain and the hurt and the disappointment of things people have done to us, of mistakes, of guilt, of shame, that we face, that we are still in that place, and we don't allow God to kind of renew us. As that verse said earlier, we are a new creation, but quite often it can be hard to let go of these things. And I just got the sense that there is a new heart waiting for us, that God doesn't want us to live with those things inside us, He wants to give us a new heart. He wants us to know his goodness, to know how much he loves us, to know how secure we are in who he is. He wants to know that the freedom that he has for us, you know, Jesus has bought that for us. He's bought for us to be living in the resources of heaven. He doesn't just make us to live on the zero line or a little bit past it. He wants us to jump right in the river and be in the fullness of it. And he has paid that price. He wants us to know the fullness of him. Wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom to live in light. Freedom to live with our brand new hearts. Freedom to live in the love that Jesus has for us. And I have got some hearts here for you as well. And I would like you to come and take a heart and eat it, because they are made of chocolate. And as it melts in your mouth, reflect on the goodness of God. Mark's already mentioned that verse, taste and see that the Lord is good. So we're going to taste and see that the Lord is good. And we can reflect on the freedom that he has given us. Maybe there are things in your heart that you know need to be dealt with, hurt, pain, disappointment. So let God start or continue to heal and restore your heart. He doesn't want us to live with it. Maybe there are things in our mind that need renewing. Anxieties, worries. We need to flip it around and focus on the truth of God. So he's going to reflect with Holy Spirit now and let him bring his renewing, restoring and glory. And while we do this, we're going to have a song played called Freedom Reigns by Jesus Culture. So if you'd like to come take a chocolate heart to eat, and I've also got some bead hearts for you so you can take one home as well. So let's just spend some time reflecting with God.